Please consider the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. When you think about your year-end giving, with 1 month left in 2016, we're approximately $78,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. I think we all know that the Santa Claus of American myth is, well, don't tell the kids, but he's made up. But the real Santa Claus has a lot more to do with Christmas than the made-up Santa Claus. Can we incorporate the real Santa Claus back into the celebration of Christ's birth? Joining us to answer that question on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 6th, Holly Shear. She's a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Santa Claus Without Jesus is Cultural Appropriation at Its Stupidest. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
What do you mean when you call Santa Claus a cultural appropriation?
Cultural appropriation is something that if you are not part of academia or kind of the social justice circles, you might not be super familiar with. So real quick, it's when you take ideas or beliefs or traditions from one culture and then you morph them into your own. You take them without being part of that culture. Calling Santa Claus a cultural appropriation, by that I mean it's secular people in America taking Santa Claus and making him their own.
So that means Santa Claus first belonged to a different culture, or in this case, really to the church. Tell us about that Santa Claus.
Absolutely. Santa Claus is based off a real historical figure from church history. He was a bishop in the early church in what is now Turkey, and he was actually present when they formed the Nicene Creed. He was a really staunch proponent and defender of the doctrine about the Trinity, and he's credited at the Council of Nicaea with slapping Arius, who was there with a very heretical view of Jesus being created and so not fully the same as God the Father.
He also is associated with, at least in legend, with gift-giving, not just for Christmas time, but really gift-giving as an act of charity on the part of this bishop. Tell us about that.
Yes, this is kind of where we now take the idea of hanging stockings up and putting presents in them around Christmas time. Tradition holds that he would throw coins into the shoes and socks of girls from poor families to give them dowries so they could make a good marriage. And back then, being married was such an important thing for a girl because that's, you know, that was all of your security net. And so he, as a churchman, knew that it was so important to help these girls make a really good match. And he anonymously did that. And that's where this tradition kind of sprang from.
So what did secular/consumer culture do with the real Santa Claus when it got a hold of him?
They took someone whose generosity stemmed wholly from his faith in Christ and Christ's generosity to us, and they stripped the religious aspect away completely. They've turned him into kind of the commercialized version we see now. You know, the big, fat, jolly man, usually with the big white beard, and he lives in the North Pole with his equally jolly wife and a whole tassel of elves, and they make presents, and they give them to kids if they've been naughty or nice. And even that naughty or nice idea is starting to slide a little bit as we are less concerned with our children actually having good behavior.
Is that what you mean when you talk about Santa Claus being turned into a moral lesson or guide?
Yeah, I think what we're seeing with that is people who don't want to be religious, they don't want to acknowledge any sort of, you know, power over their life other than their own, but they are still searching for some sort of figure to use as like a moral story guide for their children. And so they pick Santa Claus and they use it to talk about, you know, you should be kind to other people and you should be nice. Oh, and you should do this because there's a magical man watching you and he'll give you presents. And somehow that is less strange to them than talking about God.
So is that what you mean when you're talking about if you're going to appropriate this from the church, at least get it right. And if you do it without that crucial element of Nicholas's faith in Jesus Christ. It's just stupid.
Absolutely. I mean, Saint Nicholas, if you strip religion away from what he was doing and you turn him into just some random guy who was creeping around at night, like throwing money in the shoes of girls he wanted to see married, it becomes a very weird and kind of creepy story. He didn't do this because he was some weird creep, though. He did this because he was blessed by God and he wanted to bless other people.
Let's talk about what our kids learn if that's kind of the moral compass for the year. It's July. The kids are out of school. They're getting bored with the summer months and they're starting to bicker among one another there in the Shear House. If you were to simply say to them, hey, be good because Christmas is 6 months away and Santa Claus knows what you're doing, what are you teaching them?
Well, first, you totally don't understand how children and their little minds work. I mean, that is so far in the future. It's not going to actually impact their behavior in the here and now. 6 months away is a lifetime when you're a small child. Second, you know, you shouldn't do the right thing because you want to get a present. That is totally the wrong motivation. And it's really a terrible thing to teach our children. You should only be kind to people. You should only stop annoying your parents because you're hoping for some present you put on a list. And you're hoping not to get that present from any of your friends or family who love you, but from some random made-up character that you'll never meet.
So would you be an advocate of expunging that Santa Claus entirely from the American experience? What's your solution there, Holly?
I don't think we're going to remove him from kind of cultural practices. He's become ingrained. What I do think is that parents who are in the church, we should maybe spend a little bit more time instead of trying to either pretend Santa doesn't exist or, you know, just buying into the commercialized Santa. We should instead tie him back to St. Nicholas. We should talk about, you know, we can celebrate St. Nicholas's Day with our kids. You can have them leave their shoes out at night and put chocolate coins or an orange or a storybook out for them. And you can talk about, listen, Santa Claus is based off a real person who lived many years ago, and here's why we remember him. He was a faithful man. He talked a lot about the Trinity. He was generous to the people in his community, even when he didn't have to be. These are all really good lessons for our children, and I think it's better to teach them that instead of try to just ignore everything society is doing around us.
I'm just curious, was there a time when little Holly, what was your maiden name?
Middlestadt.
Was there a time when little Holly believed in Santa? The cultural appropriated Santa.
You know, my family kind of did Santa when I was growing up. And I can remember, you know, getting the presents and then eventually realizing that it was my family, not Santa. So, yeah, I guess I did kind of believe in Santa Claus when I was little.
I don't think I ever did. And it's not because my parents were anti-Santa. In fact, they would even sign the card on a few presents, just Santa. But they never pushed it with us. But then again, Christmas was a deeply religious celebration in my family, so I don't think they felt the need for that. What would be your advice for parents who say, look, it can be fun, and we'd like our kids to know about the real Santa, not the fake one. How do you appropriate that into a religious celebration of Christ's birth?
I don't think it has to be either or. You can still give presents from Santa and talk about St. Nicholas. You can also use Santa, no matter how you do him, as a lesson about looking forward to Christ's birth, about being so excited for Jesus and everything that God does for us, and really use that to bring home to your children love for your neighbor and generosity and the desire to help people. And again, that the Trinity is all equal. So you can even use it as a little bit of a history lesson about the Nicene Creed and later the Athanasian Creed.
You say, and this is what you've written recently in The Federalist, it's high time to stop searching for ways to be religious and inspire belief in the magical without actually having God in your life. That's a pretty big statement. What do you mean by that?
When you want to have those religious feelings without actually being part of any religion, when you want to bring that magic into your life and your family's life, but you want to do it on your terms, what you're really saying is that instead of being part of something bigger than yourself, you're looking inward. You are developing you know, well, these moral things make sense to me, so we'll keep them. These don't, so we're going to throw them out. I want the mystery, the unexplainable, but I want it on my terms.
What do you make of, on the Christian side, Holly, the annual kind of complain-a-thon that we hear about how Christmas is being too secularized or it's not being recognized enough by the culture? What do you make of that?
I think some of that actually is media hype that, you know, they pick out the people who complain the loudest and they bring them to the forefront. The Starbucks cup is kind of the perfect example of that. I don't personally know anyone who is losing sleep over what Starbucks chooses to put on their holiday cups, but you always see tons of news articles complaining, you know, the cup is only red, it doesn't have a Christmas tree, or the cup doesn't have anything to actually do with it. It's a holiday cup. I think some of this is the idea of a war on Christmas Christians themselves kind of feed into. We want to be part of society. We don't want to be weird. We don't want to look different. But then we also want everybody to recognize that we do have these special different things about us.
So maybe less expecting the culture to celebrate our holiday, our holy day with us, and more just expecting this is what the culture is going to do with everything it appropriates?
Yeah, I think Christianity has always done best when Christians stop expecting the culture to do us any favors. We need to get back to the idea that, you know, we have our faith because it's what we believe. It's the right thing to believe, not because society makes it easy or pleasant for us. And we've gotten a little bit lazy about that. Overall, it has been so safe and normal to be a Christian that as things change a little bit and it starts to be a tiny bit uncomfortable, there's some growing pains there for people.
Finally then, Holly, the church on this day observes the person and work of St. Nicholas. We've talked about him earlier. Have you observed it with your four kids?
Yes, we do. It's kind of a little bit different every year, depending on what we have going in our lives. But we always like observing it. And one of the things I really like to do is we have that book by Concordia Publishing House about the life of St. Nicholas. And it's a really fun read with all of the children. And I think every family with little kids should actually look at getting a book like that to read with their kids.
Holly Shear is a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Why Santa Claus Without Jesus is Cultural Appropriation at its Stupidest. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Another great Christmas book for your children comes from Concordia Publishing House, and it is in that series of famous Arch books that all of us were raised on. It's called The Christmas Connection, the latest Arch book, Christmas Arch book, for your children and grandchildren from Concordia Publishing House. It makes the connection between Christ's birth and his resurrection. The Christmas Connection is very affordable. Order one or more for the children in your life. Give Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You will find it on every page of the website. Up next on Lutheran Talk Radio 24/7, we'll get a biography of 4th century Bishop Nicholas of Myra from Dr. Bill Weinrich of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Listen at issuesetc.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.